I have many times. And that's where this comes about. One day, Pastor Steve and I was going down the hall, and he just handed me this note. I said, okay. So I looked at it, and it had the four C's of membership, because at that time we were talking about being a member of the church, what it was all about, and if we wanted to have classes, you know. So he said, I want you to preach on that sometime. Well, you can do a better job. So I just kept putting it off. And so then I've been pondering it, studying it. But the Lord has changed messages, if you notice, the last few months. Whenever we say we're going to teach on something or speak on something, the Holy Spirit changes it around, which is good. That's the way we want to move. We don't want to have a set mind where this is what we're going to say and that's it. Because we want the Spirit to lead us and guide us and be open. So sometimes that can be very, very, your mind is spinning. I've lost sleep because the enemy is fighting you too and saying, you shouldn't say that. You shouldn't do that. Or you can't say the right words, or, you know, you're struggling with all these thoughts that come into your head. But that's where prayer comes in and seeking the Lord. So anyway, the first C was commitment. And being committed, and, you know, our church, we haven't been so stringent and on, if you sign this piece of paper, that makes you a member of this church. No, it's more heartfelt. We look at the more heart. It's a choice, and it's putting into action is really what makes you a part of the family. You know what I'm saying? You know where you should be. We've been in three or four other churches, and we've known in our hearts that's where God wanted us to be and be used, not just to receive all the time, which is what the church is for, but God wants to use us too, whatever we receive. And so many times I'm at fault that what I receive here, I don't give out there like I should. So there's areas all in our lives where we have to work on our relationship with the Lord and other people. So I've asked Roger to help me out and let the Lord speak to him on what is his thoughts on commitment to the church. Because everybody probably here has different views on it. You know, how committed are you? So I'm going to let Roger come up.
Hello. This is a weird topic for me. It's a very weird topic. And I'll share with you in a minute why. Maybe 20 years ago, I would have loved to come up here and spoke on commitment. And I would have loved to tell you how important it is to be committed. And it was almost easy to go right back into that mode. I know, I'll do a word study, I'll do a Bible study, and I'll just hand it out to you. And maybe in the midst of that, too, you'll think I'm really smart because I know all these Bible scriptures. I don't know. And honestly, that's where. And I come to you today and I say, wow, this was a hard topic for me to talk about today. And I'll share with you why. I wasn't even sure how I was going to do this. And as you know, because I've shared two other times, it's almost pointless for me to have notes because I can't stay on them. I go off on tangents. But I'm going to try to keep the bunny trails to a very low minimum. One of the problems about talking about commitment is it's so important. It's a very important thing when it comes to meaningful relationships. And the church is a meaningful relationship. It's one of the most significant relationships we can enter into, is into a body of believers. But there's a problem with commitment, and I'll share that with you. And I'm going to share something that I was surprised when the Lord laid this on my heart this morning, this verse, you know, this section of Scripture, because I was like, as in most things of the kingdom, the enemy likes to come in and put a little bit of a twist to it, and then it becomes destructive. It's something meant for the health of the church, but with a little twist, it can become very destructive. So I'll share with you how that can be. Many of you have heard my testimony before, and I'm not going to give it again today. You can ask me about it. I think it's even out there on the web still from, I don't even know, that was March of 2 years ago, I think. But what I will share with you is that when I was beginning to do the most hurt in my family's life was probably the one of the times I was the most committed to the church. I'm going to list it off, kind of like Paul did. All this great stuff, and then what's it worth? What is it worth? I don't know. At the time that I began to really go down the dark path of hurting people for my own needs, I was serving as a deacon. I served faithfully at the soundboard every week. I showed up for every evangelistic outreach and every training. Every training, I would be there. And I would go out every time doing stuff I was completely uncomfortable with. But I would do it. I helped coordinate and volunteer muscle for a building project. We were converting a trailer into a building for our youth. And that was more fun for me, coordinating. It kind of fell into my natural realm. Putting people together, lining up the weekends, lining up people in the church to bring food for the workers, all this stuff. That was right down my path. I loved it. That was one of the easy ones. Fit right in my gifts. I led men's ministry. I was doing it at that time. I was doing all this stuff at the same time. We would put together men's breakfasts, and I would coordinate speakers to come in and minister to the men. And then we had the benefit. I was out in California, and we had the benefit of having Campus Crusade right there, the headquarters, before they moved to Florida. They were right there in San Bernardino, and we had all these great people that could come and talk. So that made my job easy, but I was doing it, and I also taught adult Sunday school, so I learned how to put messages together. I learned how to do my Bible study. I learned how to be more organized, and you said, maybe this is old age, I don't know. But I was a lot more organized back in those days when I was teaching Bible school or Sunday school. And believe it or not, and this was a personal commitment because I'd been taught this and I believed it, I was always meeting with somebody for personal accountability. But that only works when you can be completely honest with yourself. And even at the time, I wasn't wrestling with like, oh, I'm deceiving them. It in and of itself, accountability isn't all we need. It doesn't work. In and of itself, it will not accomplish what we think, what we often talk about it accomplishing, will not accomplish unless we can be completely honest. So I was doing all those things. And then, like, if you've heard my testimony, you know I went on to hurt my daughter, hurt my wife, did a lot of hurt. One of the problems with commitment, if it's not done out of the heart, unto the Lord, with the Holy Spirit's help, and without maturity, it can lead to pride. And that pride is so destructive. That pride can tear churches apart. You know, we've been around in a time where we've seen churches in the news or in our community broken apart. and split. And it's usually over pride. We stand for this. Oh, we stand for this, and we can't work it out. Okay, I'm going to go down a bunny trail because this just got emphasized to me. While we were in church today and I was thinking about this message, I thought, and this isn't our church, okay, but this is churches I've been in, where we find it so important to have all these programs and, you know, we've got to have this ministry. We've got to have this ministry. And we recruit, and we recruit, and we try to get the right people in the job, but that's what defines our success, is we've got to have these ministries, and we've got to say we're touching people and we're helping people. And I'm thinking, what about the people in Iraq today? I bet they're not conducting church like we think it's supposed to be conducted. I bet that the commitment is showing up with, okay, here's a children's ministry. I have to adopt these orphans because their parents were just killed for their faith. That children's ministry looks a little different, you know. Men's ministry. How to encourage each other right before you get slaughtered, probably. I can imagine that's what they're doing. Speaking words of encouragement. Hang in there, brother. Don't give up. It'll be over with soon. When I was in that, going back to my story, when I was in that state, being very committed, but obviously not really serving the Lord, at least not where it was most important, my family, I knew I had needs, had no idea what they were, and I couldn't find anybody at that time in the church I was in, and maybe some of the other, you know, Campus Crusade and some of the other people I was turning to. I knew I needed help, but I didn't know how to get it, and the church didn't know how to help me either. And I'm not criticizing them. I just think that sometimes it's just so important for us to understand the fullness of what Jesus is offering with the healing, with deliverance. You know, it can't just be about, I got my insurance policy in place, I know where I'm going. Because that's really what I was living for, waiting for that day. And, you know, when you live for pride, you're like, you can't wait to hear Jesus tell you, good and well done, faithful servant. But is that coming out of the new covenant or the old? I mean, I'm not saying he's going to do it. We know he's going to say that. But am I thinking that he's going to tell me that because I'm doing all these great things and I'm doing it well and I've got my life together and, boy, I take care of every sin as quick as I can? Or is it because I know it's about the bread and the wine? I know it's about Jesus. And he entered it, you know, he entered into the covenant so we wouldn't have to fulfill our part of it. He could fulfill our part of it. And that was enough. Okay, let's move on. I just recently started using a notepad with, Android or something, and I'm a Windows guy, so I decided not to try to use it today in church, so I copied it at home from the Message Bible. In Revelations 2, Jesus, resurrected Jesus, is talking to the church in Ephesus, and he says, I see what, and this is Message, just so you know, Message version. I see what you've done, your hard, hard work, your refusal to quit. I know you can't stomach evil, that you weed out apostolic pretenders. I know your persistence, your courage in my cause, that you never wear out. That kind of almost sounds like what we want, right? That's kind of like the kind of church we want to be. At least I'm saying I've been in places where that's the goal. We want to hear those words. Verses 4 through 5, but you walked away from your first love. Why? What's going on with you anyway? Now, do you think Jesus didn't know what was going on? I think he's asking the questions because we often don't know what's going on. We need to ask ourselves, what's going on? What am I doing? Why am I doing it? I got to tell you that a lot of the stuff that I was doing was because I couldn't, okay, I hate when I get flooded with ideas all at once. The voice of shame had a place in my life. And I couldn't conceive not doing these things because what happened if I heard or I didn't hear, good and well done, good and faithful servant. I got to do this stuff. I got to do it. I got to do all this stuff. And I really wasn't. Some people do this stuff too long, and we've seen that, and they get burned out. And then we don't know why they disappear because they're too ashamed to even stay in the church and ask for help and get healing. Because we make it too easy for people to do all this stuff, and we plot them, and we have dinners for them, and we're just so excited about people who serve. But what about the people who can't? I got to tell you, I was so grateful for this church. When I came here, separated from my wife still, broken, Steve gave me a place. That's me with my messed up timeline. I was back with my wife when I came here, but spiritually, I was still trying to figure this out. I was like, I don't know. I cannot go back to that guy. I cannot do it the old way. I can't rely on old methods. And what were the old methods? The typical Christian disciplines that we teach in church, but I'm not saying they're bad, but we got to teach more. We got to teach more. Because it isn't enough to read your Bible and pray if you're not in relationship with God while you're doing it. When your prayer is, it's the AC, whatever the acronym is, and you go through your laundry list of prayer needs, because I'm a good prayer. I'm a prayer warrior. But it's not coming from your heart. You're not pleading to God, to a father who you know is going to answer your prayer, because you just know you're his son or his daughter, and he just would never say no to us. Unless we're asking for something that we don't understand. You know, he's not going to say no. So I'm just sharing that to say there's a weird fine line in commitment that can be, you can be on the good side of that or the bad. And when it's your heart because you love, like Jesus loved us, then that commitment can be so powerful. It can bless so many people. Like I said, when I came here, I was blessed by so many people. For one, I knew I would never be any good in children's church. I'm so glad somebody's ministering to other people's kids, and they're doing it out of love, you know? And, man, I love the worship team. It doesn't matter what combination of teams we got up here. I love how I was able to meet with the Father in this place. I was doing daily check-ins with a brother, and I said, I'm going to church today. This is calling before I go to church. I can't wait to meet with God again. Something happens in corporate worship that I've never experienced before. And knowing I was growing in my relationship with God, still can't duplicate it home by myself. It happens here. Man, I'm so glad that we have worship team that love the Lord, love to enter into the presence and lead me into the presence. So there's a place for commitment. Now let me continue real quick too. You walked away. Why? What's going on with you anyway? Do you have any idea how far you've fallen? A Lucifer fall. He's talking to a church saying they committed a Lucifer fall. Now, the good thing is Lucifer didn't have a chance of redemption. They have a chance of redemption. He does give them a chance of redemption. Turn back. Recover your dear early love. No time to waste, for I'm on my way to remove your light. So he's a loving father. He's saying, I'm on my way to... And I don't know that he's talking to individual Christians as much as he's talking to the church as a whole. I think it's time to disband you. And I think it was a religious spirit that had overtaken them. They found more worth in the disciplines and in the actions than it was to be in relationship, a loving relationship. I feel like I'm preaching to the choir because I'm looking around like I can't imagine any. This message is for any of you. So maybe we're speaking it into the atmosphere so that whoever's under this religious spirit can be set free. I don't know. Okay, then he speaks to another church. I'm not going to go through all seven churches. I'm almost done, actually. But this, I paraphrased. I'm not quoting the scriptures anymore. I'm paraphrasing it because it's to the church of Smyrna. Okay, so Jesus sees their pain and their poverty, but then he says, but I also see your wealth and your pretense. Uh-oh. That doesn't sound good. What is that word? Don't know. But he tells them that they're about to suffer at the hands of Satan. Not at his hands. He's not saying, I'm getting ready to discipline you. He's saying, Satan's ready to come. And guess he's going to jail some of you for a time. And here's his words. This sounds like commitment. Don't quit, even if it costs you your life. Stay there believing. And then he goes on in verse 11 to say, after everyone, he says, and hear what the Spirit has to say. And he goes, Christ conquers are safe from devil death. And now I'm going to make a quick bunny trail to say, I believe, you may not agree, and that's okay, but I think Steve's death was his devil death. The devil took him out, but that's okay. Christ knows what to do. God knows what to do with that. But premature death isn't God's will. And he certainly was ministering to, as I found out at the funeral, he was ministering to more people than I ever had a clue. So that wasn't God's will, but God has a way of turning everything around for those who believe, right? Maybe I should end here. Let me check real quick. Okay, so let me just wrap with this. It's important for us to commit where we hear the Lord calling us to commit. Not where we think other people want us to commit. If we're doing it there, we're probably going to find ourselves in a bad place where we get burned out or something. Or we find ourselves... One of the big things for me was when I was walking this path of commitment, guess what I was doing a lot of the time? I was judging other people who weren't as committed as me. And so I was trying to build my... Instead of just letting the Lord tell me who I was and build me up just because I'm his child, I found it more important that other people saw me and that those things were leading to my more worthiness. I was more worthy because I was committed to all these ministries and doing all these things for the church. We really just want to be doing what the Lord calls us to do. So then it puts a burden on us to talk about commitment. Commitment on our part to find out what the Lord's saying, where he's calling us. I'm thankful again for this church. You know, it's a tendency to want to take that Bible verse that talks all about, in Corinthians, about the body and all the different parts, and then try to make this correlation, all the different parts. But I am glad, taking it more as it is in the church, I'm glad there are people here who hear clearer than I do. I'm glad there's people here who can see the angels doing what they're doing, who can see the throne room better than I can see. I'm glad there's people here who have compassion greater than my own. And I saw it a lot when we went through Steve's stuff. Just people who have great compassion. And we've seen up here the people who really do hear and then share with us what they're hearing and share with us the heart of God. And so there's a place for commitment. And ask for volunteers. We got stuff to do around here. And that's important for us all to do our part as well. But let's not hear the voice of shame while we're doing it. Let's make sure we're doing it out of love. And if we can't, retract. If you're in a bad place, don't do it. Because we as a church don't need to help you get to a bad place. If you know you need to pull back, pull back. You know, do it out of love. And if you can't do it out of love, help us understand. Be willing to talk to somebody. Share where you're at. Steve certainly gave me a lot of freedom. He certainly gave me a long time to sit in the pews, be in worship. And even when he, you know, kept encouraging me that I had a ministry, he didn't push me into it. He didn't ask for commitment or anything. He would invite, but he was very patient. And I think that's a lesson for us all too, and with each other, being patient with each other, giving each other space. All right.
Wonderful. Yeah, you won't go to too many churches where you have the freedom to give out. If the Lord calls you to be a pastor, an evangelist, a teacher, apostle, a prophet, if you have the gift of healing, the gift of knowledge, oh, all those special gifts, we have the opportunity to use those gifts. One church that we went to, what helped me a lot was we had like 10 young ministers. We all sat on a platform and there was a head pastor, but nobody knew who was going to speak. It was like you go to church and you've got 10 preachers up here, and what if they all had a message and they all jumped up? It never happened that way. God would speak to one, and the head pastor would sit back, and he just let the Spirit move. Our worship went for an hour and a half. It was 3-hour services at least. And then for an hour and a half was ministering. And then at the very end, the head pastor would get up after one of the young ministers spoke. But if you were, you know, I was just sitting in church one day and I felt the call of a pastor. And so I just told the head pastor that. So he put you in a position. He even split the church up. Said, this is your 5 families. You marry them, you bury them, they're yours to shepherd. And all he was like our accountability leader. So that gave us opportunity, and then a lot of those ministers went out to cities, Milwaukee, different places to minister, but there's never a perfect church. And there's problems that you always have. And we saw a lot of things happen that wasn't right. So the Lord led us on and moved on. But during all those experiences in life, you grow. And the Lord puts you through things that you don't see sometimes. Like when our girls they were born up in Wisconsin. We just thought, why, you know, why are we back here? But when we look back on everything we went through there, we can see why God put us through things and helped us mature in the Lord. But everything Roger said, the only thing I just want to bring out too is that sometimes we have so many commitments. Sometimes take time to sit down and write down all your commitments. You could have 20 of them. I mean, you count your, I wrote just some down. There's God. There's your job. Are you committed to your job? How about your children? They're a big part of being committed to your children or our grandchildren. Okay, then there's our church. And then you have to look in your own life, how much commitment do I want to make to these things? And then you have to realize, well, where is the priority? God is definitely the priority of my commitment. But then you have, what about your marriage? How much commitment do you put towards your marriage? We had a great movie last night called Courageous. Every man should see that movie, because that'll make you stop and think, how much are you committed to your family? And sometimes we saw in the past in this one church that the commitment to family was not there. There was so much more commitment to the church that there was a lot of divorces that took place. And the enemy would just get right in between the husband and wife and just tear them apart. Probably 6 or 8 of those ministers that I was super close with went through divorce. A few years later, when they went out to start churches on their own, The enemy just tore their families apart. So it's that commitment. And then you have a commitment to school. All these things come into our lives and we're bombarded. Well, where am I going to put that? I would put church on the very top part of your commitment, because the church is a building block for your family. You know, you want to train up your child, train them up in the ways of the Lord. And sure, I grew up in a very, very strong Christian home, but from age 16 to 20, guess what? I rebelled very strongly. And I was made to go to church growing up, so I totally went the other direction, but the Lord was always after me to come back. So sometimes you can get distracted. The enemy will get you distracted to where he'll pull you away from the church because you get so committed to these other things, see? So that's where in your own heart and mind you have to be dedicated and know where your commitment is. So I'm just thankful for Roger today for what he said, because by sharing our testimony and our commitments that we make, and even the church we were in, you had to ask permission to be with your family members. So if you wanted to have a family gathering to go away, you had to get permission from your pastor who you were under. They said no. They would use the scripture to say, obey them that have the rule over you, because they watch for your soul. See? So they took that scripture and used it for their own power and pride, like Roger's talking about. And then the other one was, what's that one about assembling yourselves? Yeah, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as you see the day approaching. So those two scriptures they use on you and put that shame on you, Roger's talking about, and guilt. So that became more important than your family. So see how even man can shape your commitments the wrong way. That's why we need to be in tune with the Lord. So let's pray. I'll pray for our meal too, and just pray that God blesses you. Lord, we just thank you for today. Thank you for being here. We give you all the glory for it, and bless this food today to our bodies, and give us a good time of fellowship together. In your name, amen.